It's tax season, and have you filed your income tax return already? Not yet? Or have you received your rebates from the Canada Revenue Agency? What are you planning to do with your rebates? Well, Canadians who filed their income tax returns may have been very expectant receiving a letter from the CRA or Canada Revenue Agency about rebates. Are you expecting that you would receive something? Well, preachers say that the scripture, the Bible, is love letter of God. Now, if you are very expectant of a letter from the CRA because you expect that the CRA would say, oh, you have just, I will just, if you are direct deposits from the CRA, we have just deposited this amount in your bank, something like that. If you are very expectant of that, many Christians are also very expectant of what God says in His love letter, the Bible. And many Christians read the Bible to discover godly instruction, how they would receive blessing from the Lord. Did you know that? Do you read the Bible and expect that you would receive instruction how you can receive blessing from the Lord? Discover that. Can you strongly believe that the Lord gives instruction, and that instruction He included blessing for obedience to His command? Do you believe that? Now, if you cannot believe that, ask the Lord, Lord, increase my faith to believe that when you give me command, there's blessing in it. Inspire me that I would obey. Don't just ignore when you hear something like that. Instead, pray. Ask for increase of faith. Yes, there's blessing included in the instruction of the Lord. Yet there are still hesitation. Why do we hesitate to obey? Why? Maybe we sense danger. And danger scares us. Well, the Lord knows when we hesitate. But why does God still command us to do things that we hesitate to obey? The Lord knows that you are not willing to obey. Instead, God would let you read a command that you are hesitant to obey. Why? The Lord wants us to learn. And let's learn from biblical examples. Now, when the Canaanites oppressed the Israelites, the Lord sends judges, the Lord sends prophets. And at that time, there was a time when the Canaanites oppressed the Israelites for more than 20 years, more than 20 years of oppression. That's tough. 20 years of oppression. Now, what's happening in Europe, there's only a few weeks oppression out there, and yet people are very angry for what has been happening. How much more for 20 long years? That's how the Israelites were oppressed. And because of that, they cried to the Lord. They cried to the Lord. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. And the Lord answered their prayers, and He sent prophet Deborah. We heard of Prophet Deborah, prophetess, a lady prophet. Prophet Deborah, the Lord sent her to inform Barak, not Barak, somebody else out there. Barak, the name of the leader that the Lord want to lead Israel was Barak. And it says in Judges chapter 4, verse 6 to 9, let's read together so that we will find this out. The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, Go, take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead them to Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariot and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands. Barak said to her, if you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. Certainly, I will go with you, said Deborah. But because of the course you are taking, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman. Now, Jabin, the king of the Canaanites, and Sisera, the commander of his army, the army of Jabin, the Canaanite army, they brutally harassed the Israelites for 20 years, because of they have advanced armament, advanced military weaponry. They have chariots and many things of that in their time. Maybe if you would think of this present age, it could be they have tanks or some missiles, kind of like, you don't know. But so the Lord chose Sisera, chose Barak to lead Israel into battle, go to battle against the cruel Canaanites, but he hesitated. Did the Lord know that Barak would hesitate? Yes, he knew. He knew that he would hesitate, but still, the Lord sent Deborah to tell him, go and attack the Canaanites, bring with you men, and because perhaps Barak was so scared, how can I defeat these Canaanites? They have advanced weaponry. And so he asked Deborah, if you go with me, I will go with you. Why did Barak ask Deborah to go with him? Was it because he wanted somebody to blame for if he would fail? Thinking like, I will blame you because you are the one who told me, something like that. Or if they will be defeated, he won't, I will not be blamed as failure leader. There's that Deborah, because she is the prophet. Or was he really afraid of the advanced military armament of the Canaanites? Well, anyway, after the war, the Canaanites were defeated eventually because the Lord says he will give the army of Jabin, the army of the Canaanites, into his troops into the hands of the Israelites. And that was what happened. But Barak did not get any credit for himself. He was chosen to lead, but many times when we are reading about wars, the leader would always get the credit. But in here, Barak did not get any credit. A woman named Yael, she get the credit. When she was given the chance, if you want to read more about this, go and read Judges chapter 4, and you will find how it happened. When Yael was given the chance, she didn't think twice. She didn't hesitate. She killed the oppressive commander of the Canaanites army, Sisera. Friends, when you hear godly instruction, whenever you hear or when you are reading the Bible and you sense that it is the Lord is telling you something, when you hear godly instruction and you sense that hesitation to obey. Many children would always hear the message, obey your parents, respect your parents, and you hesitate to obey. Or husband, you would hear, love your wife. And I love a little, not much. Or wives, submit to your husband. No. He's so lazy. If you hesitate to obey, don't just ignore it. Of course, many times we cannot think about that. If you are scared of or bothered by possible failure or hardship or humiliation, if you obey, don't disregard what you feel, but pray earnestly. Pray, pray, pray. Tell the Lord, Lord, I hesitate to obey. Lord, I'm scared to obey. Please fill and empower me so that I will carefully follow your instruction. So when you sense that you do not want to obey, just don't ignore. Instead, ask the Lord to increase your faith. The Lord understands that. He knows who is obedient. He knows who hesitates. He knows who disobeys. But he still wants us to practice our faith in him. How can obeying fit in when there are urgencies we need to accomplish? In this life, employees need to meet that deadline, students have school requirements, and there are bills to pay. How can we obey the Lord when the Lord tells us something? And we also want to realize our expectation for ourselves. I have this something. I want something to accomplish. And there's something I need to accomplish for my family, for my friend, for somebody else. That kind of expectation, right? We are pressured to do our best, to excel. We are pressured. Why? We crave for others' appreciation. Oops. Many people would deny that they yearn for applause. Many people would say, no, I'm not working for approval. Well, think about this. When somebody, when your boss appreciate your work, what do you do? Perform better, right? That means you are yearning for approval. If your parents say, ah, good job, son, you are doing good in school. When parents or teachers appreciate that you exerted much effort in school, will you study harder? I remember when I was younger, I always get honors, something like that, when I was in elementary. And my sister would say, oh, that's the favorite student, that's why. But I didn't hear anything from my father or my mother, although my father would be very proud to his friends. But still, I don't know if God had prepared me that I do not need his approval to do something better. When you exerted much effort but you were ignored, are you frustrated? Are you angry? Here's a godly instruction for all of us that we need to take seriously, very seriously. Let's read again verse 19 from our passage. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. It's not only men, it's not only ladies, it's not only children. Everyone, my dear brothers and sisters. Now, if you work hard, if you studied seriously, you exerted much effort just to accomplish your duties and responsibilities, obligations. But it seems like nobody paid attention to your accomplishment. Was it wasted effort? Was your effort wasted? No, it's not. Or do you feel bad? You feel bad that your boss is not paying attention when you're working? You feel bad when your teachers are not saying high five or it's high five, thumbs up? When you get high grades, feel bad? If someone hits us, if someone attacks us, say bad words against us, most often we sense anger. We are angered. That is called human anger. We can be angry when our expectations are not met, when our expectation not happened. What can trigger this human anger? The ego, the pride. When the ego, the pride is pricked and touched, the human instinct is what? Retaliate, to retaliate. Eye for eye, teeth for teeth, tooth for tooth. What you did to me, you will get much worse. That's the human instinct. Because you did this to me, I will do this to you. That's human instinct. Human anger cannot produce lifestyle acceptable to God. Cannot. The Lord accepts our lifestyle only when we allow Jesus Christ to guide us, to empower us, to help us. His Holy Spirit produces in us love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. There's no anger in the fruit of the Spirit. It's from the human instinct. Anger is from the human instinct. Why should the Lord, maybe, I don't know if you ask this question, why should the Lord decide about our attitude? Why should the Lord decide how we live? First of all, as Christians, when we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when we say we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, we are His subject. We are subjected to Him. One more thing, we become children of God. And so how should we live as children of God? Who would decide for that? The Lord knows how children of God would live, right? Do we know how to live as children of God? Think about this. You parents who have children, I don't know if you heard this, but I heard this sometimes. Somebody said, I want to be the only child of this family. I wish I was the only child of this family. The person decided, wanted that she would only get all the things that parents would offer to that person. And that's very tough. This is the way I want to live my life. And you call that, and you call yourself member of the family. I have my right. And you call yourself a member of this household. Now, think how parents would think about that. Parents, would you like that your children would be in Canada in this winter, would be wearing just shorts during winter? You don't like that, right? I'm just exaggerating things here to make the point. Because you know that it's best for your children to wear thick clothes when they go out on the snow, right? You don't want them to be in their shorts only and nothing else. And like, they would get sick. There are many things that children would think it is fitting for them to do. because they think it's the right. But for parents, they look at the benefit of the children, right? Parents. Similarly, if God the Father is our Heavenly Father, the commandments that He was giving us, that He gives us, He planned for that for our benefit, not for Him. It's not for Him. He doesn't need anything. He is self-sufficient. He is contented forever. Nothing we can add to His enjoyment of life. But He wants to share with us His love, that contentment that He had been experiencing for all eternity. He wants to share it with us. So when we place our faith in Christ, we become children of God. Children of God should have godly attitude, right? Can you say that? Can you say amen to that? Amen. But it's hard. So Lord, help me to have godly attitude. That is should be our prayers. We do not need to force ourselves. The Bible mentioned that our Lord Jesus Christ was also angry. How about that? You might say. When He found people selling cattle, sheep, doves, and others sitting at tables, exchanging money in the temple courts, He took a whip and scattered those animals out there. He overturned tables. He was angry. Theologians suggest that the anger of Christ at that moment was holy anger. Holy anger of Christ. It was triggered by His zeal for holiness and godliness, not His ego, not His pride. When the Lord Jesus was insulted, it should have touched His ego, His pride. When the Lord was humiliated, He was tortured, He never retaliated. He didn't even appeal for mercy. He never asked His tormentors, torturers, to stop. He had endured the pain for our sake. It was graphically described in Isaiah 53, verse 7. He said, He was oppressed. Let's read. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet He did not open His mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before its shearer is silent, so He did not open His mouth. Now, He was the one tortured, but He just kept silent. But oppression can trigger anger. Oppression can trigger anger. Look at this. The Ukrainians were oppressed, and yet many people, not Ukrainians, are angry. Even Christians, they are angry of the invaders. And they fight for the rights. There are many things people would fight for the rights. They organize and rally against anything they oppose. I don't like this. Let's rally. Any situation, even opinions that they cannot accept or agree with, they oppose. Human anger does not produce righteousness that God desires. Are you angered by the pandemic? Are you angered by the war news? How about economic crisis? How about gas price increase? Now, you are angered because you cannot go long driving, eh? Are you still planning to go long driving because of this? Gas price have increased unprecedentedly, and accordingly, pagtataas ang presyo ng gasolina, tataas ang mga commodities, Well, believers can be bothered by expensive expenditures too. And a pastor you may know who have a Facebook and updated his Facebook accounts and implied that he was also bothered by gas price. He might have said, "I don't usually brag about going to expensive store. Well, I just came from gas station." Yung iba sabi, tinagalog yung iba, tinagalog ng iba. Hindi naman talaga ako nagmayabang na ako'y pumupunta sa mamahaling something like that. Pero galing, kagagaling ko lang sa gasolinahan. And they made fun of this. Filipinos are very good in making fun of this. There was this car that turned upside down, maybe because it was slippery, and it turned upside down near the gas station. And somebody posted, "Oh, pati yung sasakyan hinimatay dahil sa taas ng gasolina." Hinimatay daw yung sasakyan. Are you bothered by the gas price? And the pandemic scared many believers. Gas price scared many believers. During the pandemic, many churches were significantly affected financially. How should believers respond during economic crisis? According to Bible scholars, during the first century Christianity, they also suffered similar economic crises caused by natural calamities, drought, and also war. Remember in 2 Corinthians, Apostle Paul and some elders, they collected offering for support to the Judean believers because the Judean believers were experiencing some kind of economic crisis at that time. And accordingly, there was drought in Egypt or somewhere in that area. In Egypt, it is the kind like the where grain was planted, and the grain, because of low harvest or little harvest in Egypt, the grain went higher, and of course it needs a lot of money to buy higher prices. And when Apostle Paul talked about giving, he was very sensitive of that economic situation. So he explained proper giving that the Lord expects. And this has become a principle for New Testament believers. And many New Testament believers say, in the New Testament, the Bible did not say about tithing. Tithing is only in the Old Testament. But why? What is it that the Apostle Paul say in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 8? He said, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly and under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." If you go through the Bible, whatever Bible version that you will be reading, you can only find the word loves, L-O-V-E-S, loves, present tense, not more than 5 times. You can find God love, past tense, God love. Most often, love of God, you find that. But The action word, the present tense that says God loves, you can only find about three times in the Bible. One, the cheerful, God loves cheerful giver. God loves the righteous person. I cannot remember the other one, but it pertains to the Lord Jesus. God loves a cheerful giver. He's able to bless a cheerful giver abundantly. That term loves is present tense, not past tense, not future tense. What does it imply when it is present tense? It implies that God blesses cheerful giver in the present time and no need to wait for eternity. You don't need to wait for eternity. It's a practice of faith to trust God abundant, that God abundantly blesses cheerful givers now in our present age. So when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, this is why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, He would produce joy, joyful giving, not reluctant giving in us. So when we give with cheerfulness in our heart, it is the Lord at work in your life. We can cheerfully give our service, our finances to the Lord. But still, many would argue whether Christian, is it Christian giving? What is Christian giving? Should we give 10% or less than 10% or more than 10%? Which is which? Pray and be filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of revelation. He will help you realize an amount of giving that He would bless. But remember, verse 6, if you sow sparingly, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. That's the basis. You want blessing more? That's up to you. Not reluctantly, but joyful giving. When we share the gospel of Christ to non-religious people, when we tell about the Lord Jesus Christ, there will always be someone who would argue with us, or they even insult us, insult your pastor. Your pastor, I don't like your pastor, he always talk about giving. I don't like your church always talk about giving. And most often, non-believers would argue about giving to the church. Listen, even self-confessed Christians argue about Christian giving. If you have been arguing if you are to give 10%, less than 10%, or more than 10%, and you say you are Christian, what more than non-religious people? If Christians would argue, non-religious people would argue more. They would say, Christians would say, I'm living by God's grace, not by law. Why should I give 10%, which is mentioned in the law of the Lord? That is legalism. Friends, here's how you may explain. Giving to the Lord is practice of faith. Giving to the Lord is practice of faith. Our Christian lifestyle is a result of living by God's grace. And the law of God, the Bible, it's the standard of, or the passing mark of Christian lifestyle. Do you pass the Christian lifestyle? And as a result of living by God's grace, we gladly obey the law of the Lord. Instead of forcing ourselves, instead of trying our best to obey the law of the Lord, instead of arguing to obey, this is why Christian giving is not under compulsion, not reluctant, not hesitation. This church, we do not require you to give 10%, although it is required qualification for for eldership or deacons, board of trustees, but for members, we do not require you to give 10%. If you give, that's up to you. But if you think you are a disciple of Christ, you know what you need to do. Pray about that. Our interpretation, our personal application of the scripture, it practically exhibits, it will show our faith in the Lord. So how do you know that you have faith in the Lord? You can only prove that you have faith in the Lord by looking at the Bible and see, where am I in my faith? How do I obey the Lord? That's how you test your faith, where you are now in your faith. Now, if you think that there's still hesitation out there, don't stop. Lord, increase my faith. Because He doesn't love you if you give reluctantly. The Lord rejects that kind of service, that kind of giving. So even if you give 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, 1 million, but in your mind, oh, I should have bought Lamborghini. I should have bought my yacht. I should have bought my RV instead of giving to the Maples Evangelical Church. Don't give. Buy what you want to buy instead of giving, because you wasted your opportunity to be blessed. Be quick to listen. Remember, brothers and sisters, slow to speak and slow to become angry. It's helpful to learn what the scripture says, but avoid getting into angry argument if possible. Why? We cannot attain godly lifestyle of righteousness with angry argument. It says in verse 20, read, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. If you can memorize this, James 1 verse 20, every time you are angry with your children, parents, or children, every time you are angry with your siblings or your parents or your teachers or your classmates, remember, human anger does not produce righteousness. When you are angry with your boss, office mate, or when you are driving and you are angry that somebody cut in front of you, well, manners, attitudes, and lifestyle should produce righteousness that God desires. That is Christianity, acceptable to the Lord. We cannot attain godly lifestyle of righteousness acceptable to God when we are controlled by human anger. So when we sense that anger in us, Lord, let this anger be taken away. Instead, fill me with joy and love and peace. I don't like it. Take it, Lord. Take it. Peace. And don't stop. Keep asking the Lord. Every time you sense that anger, pray. The Lord would not take it away until you recognize sincerely that anger is not good for you. We've got to pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom. The Spirit of wisdom, help us understand. The Spirit of revelation, help us reveal to us what step we should do. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Well, King Solomon, he's the wisest king of Israel. He had already observed and compared and concluded the reaction of a wise person and foolish person. He tried to be foolish himself, and he knew that to be wise is better than being foolish. And in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 21, he wrote, whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly. And we have this foolishness many times, right? Sino hindi pa nagalit sa inyo? Lahat tayong mayroon foolishness. And the Lord knows that. And He wants us to be wise. This is why the Bible is given for us to understand and help us how we are able to have this love, have this peace instead of anger. Driving a vehicle in a busy highway can certainly reveal if a driver has patience. Ayaw mga nakikisakay nag-observe ng mga driver. Na-observe nyo ba kung paano magalit yung mga driver? I know somebody. I know myself. Many accidents in the highway happen because of road rage or impatience. Hindi dahil sa snow. Sa kamamadali, ang bagal ng traffic, kamamadali, dahil madulas na bangga. Well, did it happen to you? Motorists are angry when they cannot overtake slow-moving vehicle. Kung ikaw mabagal naman, nagagalit sila sa iyo. And there was a video posted online. There was this two car moving in a two-lane highway. According to the video, the two cars in front were moving and maximum speed. They are not over speeding. They are not slow speed. They are moving at maximum speed. And there was this white truck following the two cars. White truck wanted to overtake, but it cannot because these two cars just do not want to speed up or slow down to give space for overtakers. They just move at the same speed in a two lane. Now, many truck drivers want to be overtaking many times. Have you observed that? This is why I bought my truck. Want to overtake. So what happened? The white truck tried to go sideways, going in the video, the person who was taking the video was just at the back trying to observe what's happening. And then there was this unpaved road shoulder. Most often road shoulders, they are used for emergencies. They are used for if you want to stop for a while or if you have trouble there, you need to go to the road shoulder. But this white truck driver thought that he can use that unpaved road shoulder to overtake. So the white truck took the unpaved road shoulder, but didn't, of course, he tried to speed up to overtake these two cars moving at maximum speed, but it was too late for that white truck driver to notice that the unpaved road shoulder is very short. It was not enough for him to overtake. So the white truck hit the highway railings and turned upside down. Well, the white truck passengers, they are trying to overtake because maybe they were late for an appointment, but they have proven that it's foolish to take the rough road shoulder when overtaking on the highway. Instead of getting to their destination, they missed their appointment with disastrous delay. Listen, to be delayed and safe is far better than to be delayed by unfortunate accident. You can choose. You will be delayed anyway. Why? Sometimes you are delayed and you overtake. I overtake, but you didn't notice there's police there, and you pay. You are running late because you want to be in your work on time. Instead of working for money, you are working for money to pay your penalty. Well, there are many unguarded moments while driving, especially when motorists are pressured to reach their destinations at a certain time. It happened to many of us. It happened to me. Praise God that He kept us safe. There's a good number of road rage video posted online. You can easily go to YouTube and write road rage. And hundreds of videos you can find there. Funny videos, failed videos, they say, of failure, videos of failure. We may not be angry. I'm not an angry driver. But another motorist could cause a traffic because that motorist is so angry. This reminds us to be on the alert always. It happened one time, we're driving at Kinaston. That day was very slippery and there were many accidents that day. I'm trying to distance myself, maybe approximately I'm following somebody about less than 100 meters because I don't want to get near. And then suddenly, somebody from the other lane just almost hit the boulevard. And then I look at the back if somebody is following me near, and it's good there was nobody following me so near, but I had enough time to hit the brake. It's good nobody had an accident at the time, but those are moments when we don't expect, right? Have you been in an accident this time? It's tough, right? It's tough. Road rage reality practically proves that human anger does not produce righteousness that God desires. And we also do not desire the result of road rage, right? This is the reason the Lord Jesus came. This is the reason He offers us eternal life with abundance. The Lord says, I have come that you may have life and have it to its fullness. That fullness is not only about having material things, but also about safety, about health, and about peace in our mind. King David had described abundant life with the Lord poetically in Psalms 36, chapter verse 5 to 10. Let's read this meditatively. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountain, your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animal. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delight. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Continue your love to those who know you, your righteousness to the upright in heart. Now, that's very wonderful. The Lord continues love to those who knew Him and to the upright in heart. Sense your heart. Check your heart. Am I upright before you, Lord? Only by your grace I can be. Surely God desires us to experience His loving grace more practically. And most often we react negatively when we have struggles, when we have problems. Why? The plan of God for our betterment is too wonderful beyond imagination. We always recite that whatever happens, God would use it for the good of those who love Him. And yet, we just cannot imagine what God has been preparing. We quickly refute, we quickly argue if we cannot figure out. So we need to rely upon the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of revelation. Lord, give me wisdom. Help me. The power of God, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the wisdom and power of God. Let Jesus Christ prevail. Lord, prevail in my life. Many times I disobey you. Keep praying. His promise for abundant life can only be experienced when we follow his guidance and leading. This is where I want you. If you want abundant life, this is where I want you to experience. And that is where he wants us to experience that abundant life, and not in the way we want to go. If this is the way we want to go, no, that is not the place where the Lord prepared for that abundant life. It is in the path he wants us to take. Can you agree that when Christ guides us in our decision, our action, our lifestyle, we would experience the fullness of Christ? Can you agree with that? Really? How? Pray to be empowered by the Holy Spirit of Christ. Lord, empower me. He will help us. He will guide us to decide which step to take, which path to follow. Can you accept that the word, his word can save you? Now, in verse 21 it says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Many times when we pray, we ask for, we confess, right? Because it's not very good. God's word, the word of God, is godly instruction for easier path to godly lifestyle, to lifestyle that God had prepared for us to experience life in its fullness. It's designed for believers. So obeying his instruction can actually save our time, save our effort. Many times we try to exert much effort, and we wasted our effort because it's our way. Genuine believers belong to God. We belong to God. We can only experience the best life that God designed for us if we take the path, if we follow the path he says that he would instruct us. Our human effort, our initiative, it only leads to wickedness. Human effort, human instinct is sinfulness. If we follow what he says, we follow the lifestyle he prepared for us. It's not the situation that God had prepared if we follow our instinct. Where God planned us, where God designed us to experience life in its fullness, we follow his instruction. Why? There's an example. When angry, we exert human effort. What do you normally do when you are angry? How do you express your anger? How do you react when you are angry? Angry individuals can say, can shout words that can hurt emotionally because they want the person they are angry with would know that they are really angry. But if Christ prevails in us, it's not anger who would come out of us. It's love, right? Peace. So when you have peace, you cannot be angry. Human anger produces disgusting moral filth in us. And we need to confess. We need to ask God, Lord, I don't like this. I don't like this to prevail in me. So ask to be filled. Fill me, Lord, with your love. Fill me with your peace. Fill me with joy. Fill me with patience. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, not anger. It is disgusting. Now, if you are drinking coffee. Somebody said, somebody was drinking coffee. After drinking the coffee, he drank through that cup with, drink water with that cup where he drank coffee. Somebody said, oh, you need to wash that first because you, before you drink water. Well, it was coffee I was drinking. But what we are saying is people would not drink when using a cup that is dirty. You don't want to use dirty cups drinking clean water, right? This is why when you go to stores or somewhere establishment, they would cover your unused cups to show that it's clean, and like they want you to use clean cups. Similarly, sins and wickedness cause us spiritual uncleanness, spiritual filthiness, spiritual disgust. It's disgusting, and if when we have sin, we have filthiness in us, we are not worthy to be used as spiritual vessels of the Holy God. He won't use us. It is stated very wisely in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 4 to 5, remove the dross from the silver, and the silversmith can produce vessels. Remove a wicked animal from the king's presence, and his throne will be established through righteousness. If you go to YouTube, and maybe you can easily observe the how they may make silver pure by putting it in a fire so that the dross, the non-silver particles would be removed. Spiritually, to establish rightful kingship in the Lord Jesus, in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, for the Lord Jesus Christ to be king, for the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Lord of our life, we need to rely upon Him. We pray for His help and submit to Him, and instead of relying on our ability. So when we decide or act upon something, we pray for guidance. That is when the Lord uses us. God carefully reveals portion. He would not reveal everything at once to you, what He plans for you, what He planned for you. If only the Lord told me, you will be preaching in Canada before English-speaking people, I would easily have told the Lord Jesus that in those times, Lord, I told you I don't want to preach. How much more speaking in English? I should have said, but the Lord did not do such things. He did not bring me immediately after I told Him I would like to serve Him. He brought me to China. Maybe the reason we went to East Asia is for us to speak English there so that the confidence in me speaking in English before non-speaking people would grow stronger. I can speak baligtad na English there in China because they just don't understand me anyway. If they do not easily know if I'm speaking correct or wrong grammar, and the Lord allow us to stay there for a few months, 30 months to be exact. The Lord knows us, allows us to choose if we want to follow godly righteousness or to follow our instinct. He knows that. He knows that if he would have told me everything at once when I was a new believer, He knew that I would easily hesitate and disobey. But He did not do that. He just showed me a little where I can practice my faith. Human sinful desire can cause us to follow even human anger. In the pandemic caused confusion. It caused anger. Were you angered that we were told to wear masks? It's hard to breathe when you have a mask. And There's this economic crisis. It fired up human anger. And accordingly, on March 15, this coming March 15, Tuesday, the Manitoba government says that requirement about the pandemic, the mandate about vaccine, about masking, will be lifted up, but it would be according to any institution if they would impose, but not the government. When the pandemic erupted, that wearing masks have been mandated, and you want to go to grocery, but you cannot. You need to only one person per family. Did you remember that, or you forget it? And this is how you do. We did, actually. We push different cards or take different, as if we are not a family. Because if you are together, oh, you're family. And we were together at one time, and a staff at the store says, you are not supposed, family are not supposed to come together, only one fair family. And there was somebody out there wearing a vest saying that he is observing people who are not wearing masks or something. So what we did, because we are family, okay, don't we go separate ways. You go there at the grocery, I will go there at the where I want. Many individuals would have rallied against the mandate of mass. They do not want to be dictated by what they cannot agree with. And they present, this is a scientific reason why we believe that we don't need to wear masks. Then the authorities announce, wearing masks will not be required anymore. Then there are still concerned individuals rallying against it. They want everyone to wear masks. Nobody can please everybody, so to say. And many believers are confused which idea, which advisory, which scientific evidences to follow. Are you distressed? Are you disappointed? Are you dismayed by inconsistencies of humanity? What can we learn from the Bible? It teaches us in Isaiah 41, verse 8 to 10. Let's read this. You, descendants of Abraham, my friend, Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth. From its farthest corners, I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. But someone may argue, but Pastor, that passage was promised to the Israelites. Well, the original recipients were descendants of Abraham. It says in verse 8, return to verse 8, it says, you descendants of Abraham, right? You descendants of Abraham. The Israelites were descendants of Abraham. But nothing is mentioned that such promise of the Lord is exclusive only for the Israelites. It includes all descendants of Abraham. It is biblical. All believers who have faith in God are descendants of Abraham. Now, do you have faith? Do you have faith in God? If so, then you are descendants of Abraham. In this promise of God is available for you and all who have faith in Christ, especially if you are an immigrant. Now, if you were born here, you are not immigrant, your parents were immigrants or grandparents. God took you from your birthplace, place of birth, to accomplish his mission purposes where you are. What is God's purpose for you? If by any chance you are dismayed, if by any chance you are frustrated, disappointed, or angered by economic crisis, pandemic, and you are scared about the future, rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad. If you have active faith in God, he cares for you. He will certainly sustain you to live righteously. Faith in God can be practically proven. You want to prove if you have faith? when we sincerely accept and personally follow godly instruction in our life. There's sincerity in us. That's faith, active faith. Your life distinctively transformed to godliness. Ask yourself this morning, is there any change in my life since I believe in Jesus Christ? Is there any change? Ask yourself. If you cannot find any change yet, pray for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to transform your life wonderfully. Keep praying. Lord, I cannot sense any distinct, concrete change in my life yet. But I want, Lord, to see that I have faith in you practically. So help me see that concrete change. Keep praying until the Lord would tell you. Most often, practical change would be the things that others can see, our attitude, or practical matters. Like for example, for me, I was full of vices. You can share with me what vice you had. I might have had that before. And now I can easily say no to those vices without any regret, without anything that, oh, gusto ko pang tikman, something like that. No. And I know that it was the Lord who changed that for me. Those are some of the things that you can easily see. Other things, the way you react, that those are the next step that God would change in you. He would not change you fully in an instant. Slowly, when you hear a message that pricked your favorite sin, it could be that favorite sin is the thing that the Lord wants to remove from you at the moment. Until that unrighteousness, wickedness is removed, you cannot advance to the next level. Because he wants you to, when God cleans us, he cleans us strategically, methodically, so that we cannot be surprised, but we observe it's the Lord who worked in us. So to make sure that you have faith in God, watch practical changes in your life. In the Word of God is his instruction that we should follow as standard of godliness. Do you pass when you have examination of godliness? That is our question this morning. Listen up and let's just think. Imagine what has God been telling you, things that you resist or you just cannot obey yet, or you hesitate to obey. What is it? Was it anger? Was it something about giving? Was it about vices? Was it something about a relationship in your family, relationship in school, at work, or the way you drive, or how you respond to critical issues, domestic issues, international issues? How is it? What is it? Just tell God, Lord, I don't like this. To stay with me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Empower me, Lord. Let your love, let joy, let peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control prevail in me, Lord. Just tell him that. Fill me with wisdom. Let your spirit of wisdom and revelation prevail in me. Just tell him now.